Hi, I'm Jeff Heisner with the Michigan District, and welcome to the podcast. Today, we've got a special podcast. The Superintendent of Schools for the Michigan District, Travis Grueke, leads the discussion on Universal Pre-K and the Great Start Readiness Program with Lisa May and Barb Ackerman.
My name is Travis Grueke. I am the Superintendent of Schools with the Michigan District, and we are blessed to have two lovely ladies join us here that are leading some GSRP programs in early childhood centers from our Michigan District. And we're going to talk a little bit about the universal pre-K that has been kind of inundating us the last couple years from the state of Michigan. And most importantly, talk about what it means for your ministry who may be thinking of starting a GSRP classroom and what that means for you. So we are going to allow these two individuals to introduce themselves. So we'll start with you, Lisa. Can you share a little bit of information about yourself as well as maybe just a quick little summary of how long you've been with the GSRP program?
Sure. Hi, my name is Lisa May. I am the preschool administrator here at Bethlehem in Saginaw. We have been doing GSRP for just under a year. We started on October 30th, so we're getting ready to celebrate our one-year anniversary of the GSRP, and it's been a really great year.
Awesome, awesome. And Barb?
Hi, I'm Barb Ackerman, and I'm from Emmanuel in Bridgman, and we have had GSRP for 12 years here at Emmanuel. Emmanuel has been in charge of it for 10 years. The first 2 years, Bridgman Public Schools were in charge, and then they decided to hand it over to us, and we've had it for 10 years now.
Perfect. It's great. So we've got two really contrasting kind of environments. One that just started, kind of a newer program, and then obviously over to Manuel, who's been doing it for a long time. So we're going to fire off a couple questions to both these ladies and allow them to share a little bit. So we'll start with you first in this one, Barb, in terms of some of the challenges you've seen with the program. Like, what are some of the sticking points that cause a little bit of angst at times or things as you think about the last 10 years with the GSRP program?
Well, one of the things is it's a lot to get started. You have to have a license. And when I first started, there was no Great Start to Quality. And then Great Start to Quality came in the picture. And that's just about like doing accreditation. And it's a lot of work. And then getting your boards on base to go with you was another challenge that we had. They needed to see that this was a mission and an outreach in what are we really here for. And the other thing I would say is, you know, staffing has been difficult, trying to get qualified staff. And then with COVID, we went through a time where we did not have a full program, and then you have to give your money back to the state. So for 2 years, they let us keep it, even though we had lower counts. And I went to a meeting today, and we were all told that we are no longer able to have any carryovers. We need to spend all our money each year. So that's going to kind of be a little bit of a challenge, I think.
Yep. We navigate those budgets and using some of those dollars.
Right.
Right now, Barb, off the top of your head, what's the ballpark for full-time child that you get for the GSRP program? Is it around the 10,000 or so? Is that pretty close to that amount?
I think that's pretty close to it, yes.
Okay. All right. Lisa, what about you? You're just starting up. We talked a lot last fall, when you were starting the program and things. So what have been some of the kind of the big challenges you've seen?
Yeah, so for us here in Saginaw, Travis, as you know, our demographic is very different than a lot of areas. And we're in an urban setting. We have a lot of free and reduced lunch. And our numbers had been going down pretty quickly in our tuition-based preschool. So when we heard free preschool, I'm not going to lie, at first I was like, nope, we're not doing GSRP. I'm not doing that. And then as I talked to you more, we decided to look into it. Challenges that we had getting started, we're learning the program. Here, there is not a lot of support from the GSRP, the ISD here. So I really worked with some other Lutheran schools that had GSRPs, and they helped me a lot with that. And that was amazing. Paperwork was new. Like Barb said, doing the Great Start to Quality stuff was a lot of work, and I was not planning to do that. And so that, in tandem with learning what a GSRP was just a ton. And then the teacher shortage was tough when I was looking for a teacher. I mean, we literally got a teacher in the 11th hour. But those were my biggest challenges, but they all were worked through.
Yeah. Yeah. To piggyback that, Lisa, did you also get some of the grant money, helping out to start the program? Can you talk a little bit about that too, real quickly?
Yeah, really quickly. So we also were able to get a startup grant of $25,000. So everything in that classroom is brand new, which is really amazing. That took such a weight off of our shoulders. And then we also, in our area, after doing a survey, we decided to go for the 5-day extended program instead of the traditional 4-day program. And that actually pays a little bit more than the 4-day program. So we have about $12,222 per student.
Okay. Wow. And a portion of that can be used, obviously, like what, 10% or so can be used for overhead, like your director's salary, utilities.
So it's actually a little different per region. And they kind of, here in Saginaw at least, let you kind of decide, as long as you can prove the reason behind what percentage you're using. We went per classroom, so we are doing 10% because we have 10 classrooms. That's what's working for us, and our ISD is okay with that, and it's giving back tons to the church.
Yeah, great. How about some of the blessings? Like, what are some of the big things that you've seen over the years, Barb, that have been a blessing that you've got this GSRP program kind of in tandem to your, we'll say, traditional classrooms as well?
Well, it's like Lisa said, our ISD, I'm able to claim 20% of like our overhead costs. So that puts anywhere between $20,000 and $35,000 extra dollars into the childcare budget. And that helps a lot when you're struggling. And the other thing is, we've been able to take the children to chapel and do the Christmas program. So we've been able to introduce them, you know, to Jesus. We've had a couple families then come and have their children baptized. So it's just a wonderful outreach, you know, for the community. And it's good to get to know the parents and, you know, to have those kids around Christian teachers is a huge asset.
Yep. Amen. What about you, Lisa? Same question.
So for us, kind of the same thing. It's been our biggest mission in the last year. It's been amazing. We've kind of found that our families that are at our GSRP, they wanted to be at Bethlehem anyway. They just couldn't afford our tuition. And so they're here, they're learning about Jesus, they're going to chapel every week. In our first year, 3 of our 7 kids from the GSRP program stayed and went to our kindergarten class. So that was amazing. Yeah, we were really, really excited about that. As Barb said, the financial blessings for the church and school have been huge, but really just finding, being able to share this mission and work with the kids and the families. We've had some of them become members of the church. I'm just so excited to see where it goes. You know, having them in this Christian learning environment has been great. I feel like Jesus is more present in that room than all my other rooms because he knows he's so needed in that room.
Okay, great. So piggyback off that question a little bit then. Obviously, we know that we can't, they use that word proselytize, right? We can't be intentionally during the schedule hours of the program, really having Jesus time together on the carpet and some of those kind of things. So what are your centers doing to still make sure the gospel is being shared with families, but just a little bit more creative and still following along with some of those rules about it as well? Barb, you have any thoughts on that one in terms of how you still make sure that's being shared?
What we've done is for the children to participate in the Christmas program, our ISD gal that's in charge of, you know, GSRP here in our area just requested that I have a signed statement from the parents that say they're allowing release of their children to participate in the Christmas program. And we start that in October and go through December. So they're in church a lot and a lot of songs. And then also what we've done this year is we have to run GSRP time as the same as kindergarten in Bridgman or first grade. So when first grade is done at 3, we are done with GSRP. We have the parents come pick them up at 3:15 and we do Jesus time with them after school, and every single one of them has stayed.
Awesome.
All 16.
Awesome.
So that's
amazing. Great way to do it. Yep. And still follows the rules. We're not breaking any rules, but what families know when they're walking through the door and they see Emmanuel Lutheran over the top, they know what they're getting as they walk in.
Right.
Yep. Right. Yep. Lisa, anything to add to that? Kind of similar stuff that you're seeing in your place?
Yeah, kind of the same thing. When we decided to sign on, we were concerned about whether we could have Jesus in the classroom. And they said, you know, you can set up this classroom the same as you set up your other classrooms. You just can't talk about Jesus intentionally during the day. But really, they're in our Lutheran school, and we are talking about Jesus, and the kids are hearing about him in the hallways and and still coming over the loudspeaker and all of that. We did the same thing. We have a permission slip kind of that they fill out for the Christmas program. Before they even start, they fill out a permission slip to go to Jesus time, to come in for late start Wednesdays. They come in at the same time for chapel. Every one of them does it. Every one of the parents is so excited that we can do it. So that's just been really great.
Great. Awesome. So if a congregation or school is wrestling with this, they're thinking about, man, do we dip our toes in this or not? We've had a lot actually in our district reach out to us in the last month or so in particular, because a few of our areas have really been, I don't want to say devastated, but taken down massive amount on their enrollment in that 4-year-olds because their local public school or others are opening up these free preschools and they're being advertised to, and parents are kind of fleeing and going in that direction. So if we asked you a couple of things that they should start thinking about if they're wanting to start this, what are some of the first steps they should start taking as they go about this? Barbara, what do you think are some first step ideas for those individuals?
Well, I think the first steps is if they kind of maybe get out in the community and start talking to parents and see what they want, and tell them that, you know, they're still going to get the Jesus time. It is free. And it's just, I think you just have to be out in your communities and just, you know, be aware. And then, you know, you need to go to your boards and talk to your boards in your church about, you know, are you an outreach? And you know, do you want to be visible in the community? And then, of course, you know, if you don't have a child care center, you need to get your license and then the GSR or the Great Start to Quality. So it's not a really quick process. I mean, you got to think about it way in advance. You can't think about it in August and say, oh, I'm going to do this in September.
Agreed. Oh, definitely. Lisa, what about you?
So when we decided to look into this, as you know, Travis, I called you a lot because I, again, wasn't sure about it. And then I talked to my principal, Brenda, and we decided this sounded like something that might work for us. The next step was we talked to Pastor, took it to our Board of Christian Education. We're really blessed here at Bethlehem that they trust us to make the best decisions for the school and preschool. We were already doing the lunch program, so we weren't as scared about joining that end of things. And then we took it to our PLC, which is our Parish Leadership Committee, and they said, you know what, if you guys are feeling like this is the right thing to do, go ahead and look into it. You know, call your ISD and have those ladies come over or those people come over and ask questions. I asked so many questions. I think I had 3 meetings before I finally said, oh, okay, I want to do it. Here in Saginaw, one of the first things they have to do is kind of look at your area and see if you even would qualify, because with the area GSRPs, and we have one like a half mile one way and one a half mile the other. And I thought, well, there's no way that they need it. But we did need it. And we are full this year. We have 16 students. And I just want to say, our tuition based is the biggest it's ever been as well.
Wow.
So some of those people are planning to be in the GSRP next year. So it's really been a blessing to Bethlehem. And I know my business manager hates when I say this, but we really couldn't afford not to do it. This was one of those times where Lisa really was right. Like, we couldn't afford not to do this.
Yeah.
It's great for us.
And we've heard that from a couple places that just, you know, we've had classrooms of 24, 25, 26 in our four-year-old programs. And then this last fall in 2023, we had 7. And as you know, man, we got to have a robust 3s and 4-year-old programs in a lot of our places in order for just the financial dollars to make sense, especially if they have infant toddler care. Man, that's just a negative number that has to be offset in other ways. So it's a great lesson.
I just want to say too, I went to my meeting for GSRP, 2 weeks ago, and we were one of the only ones in the area that are full. And honestly, I really attribute that to having Jesus in our school. And the parents want that. I really believe that. Like, everybody was complaining that their class wasn't full. And I was kind of like, oh, ours is full. So I really just think it's these people need us. They need to come into our schools. And it's just been such a good thing.
And we have a reputation, right? And we have a reputation for doing early childhood education and doing it well.
Yes.
And they know that. I mean, like over in Emmanuel and same thing. I mean, you have a reputation for it, so people want to be there. Mm-hmm. And this is a financial way that brings families in that otherwise wouldn't have the opportunity to do so.
Right. I agree. Our program is full this year. My 3-year-old program is full. My 4-year-old program is full. It hasn't hurt us at all. And I agree with Lisa. They need to hear about Jesus. It's what the families want. And the school has we have a good reputation. So they know we're teaching them well and they're safe here and parents can trust us. And I think that makes a huge difference. And this morning when I went to my site meeting, they showed us a map of where all of the GSRPs are in our county. And I am way down in the corner and all the rest of them are clustered up, you know, by Benton Harbor, you know, St. Joe area. And I'm the only one down here. And I mean, demographically, we're in a good spot.
Yep. All the more needed. All the more needed. Yeah. Well, I want to thank you two ladies for being a part of this. I think in some of our message notes and things, we've got email addresses for both Lisa and Barb. If you want to reach out and contact. If you want to contact our office in the Michigan District, we've got over 12 centers now. Probably going to be close to 15 by the time January rolls around throughout the state that are offering a GSRP classroom, a Great Start Readiness Program classroom in their building. Most of them in tandem to a traditional classroom as well. Mm-hmm. So if you've got questions, if your board's wrestling with this, pastor's wrestling with this, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. Lisa and Barb can be great resources. And I'm sure if you're in different parts of the state, we've got a center probably close to you that you can go and check out and pick their brain as well and talk to those directly. So thank you again for all you do to continue to serve our Lutheran schools and our Lutheran early childhood centers. God's blessings on the remainder of your year.
Thank you.